For the purpose critique review, positive and education, the Shiny Squirrel Podcast is presenting.
It's the Nerdlings Podcast, and I'm WC Chronicles, your senior host.
And this is New Jersey Mike, the junior host, and it is freezing in Las Vegas,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, 38 this morning.
And tonight's going to drop to 39 or 38, around the same, and it's cold.
Wait till about 8 a.m. to head out. So what we got is we're going to do a podcast with no sound bites, just basically straight conversation. Got a few things to talk about before we get into the comparison of Star Trek and Star Wars. Kind of a topic I've been wanting to do. But first, some things, some people have passed away that we haven't really had a chance to comment on yet. So the first being Marvel comic genius Stan Lee.
He passed away about 2 weeks ago now?
About 2 weeks ago now, yeah.
It's a shame.
I mean, everybody, Stan Lee, I never met him, but I mean, right here and down on our strip, we got the Marvel exhibit.
Yeah, Treasure Island. Yeah, Treasure that's Island, pretty
is
cool,
that what's
yeah.
Because we went in there and looked at it and decided, too much money.
Yeah, like 30-something bucks, but not to say, 35, I think, but not to say don't do it, but.
Yeah, well, we're at the time.
Yeah,
like, you know,
but Marvel, wow.
I mean, Stan Lee, what's going to be missed is always, it was always fun to see his cameo appearances in the movies.
Always.
You know?
He always had one or two little moments where
yeah,
you like, know it was him.
Like in the Hulk one where he was with him, he and Lou Ferrigno from the TV show on NBC, they were security guards.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And they said he signed a lot of autographs at shows and stuff. No tomorrow.
He was very giving with his autographs, say, compared to William Shatner.
Yeah.
Who will only sign autographs at the conventions.
Hey, listen, you can't blame William Shatner, Captain Kirk.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they've done their time, you know, I mean, so.
Exactly. And you know, some people are more different. Different hearts, just, different
it way just
they're.
It is the
yeah,
way
exactly,
you are, you know?
Exact. Thank you. It's the way you are.
I mean, so. God bless you, Stan Lee. You're still with us. You're going to be part of nerd history
forever. I wonder what his stuff went for, like his original comic books and different stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Probably had a tremendous collection. He's probably got the Mint A1s because it was his company.
Yeah.
This. You know, he probably kept a file of them.
I remember when I was in Nicolas Cage's house doing some work for what I do for employment. I'm not getting into that. But he had on his wall probably a 2 feet by 3 feet picture of him and Stan Lee.
Wow.
And it was autographed by Stan Lee to Nicolas Cage by, you know, Stan Lee.
But imagine having like one of these Superman 1950 something first edition mints
yes.
that came off of his press.
Yeah. Everybody talks about Superman number one. I would like Spider-Man number one. Because actually that was what our very first podcast of the Nerdlings was. We were talking about my comic book, which was the Superman Spider-Man crossover together.
Yes. And if you got that with the original 20 cent or whatever it is, it's worth like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh,
I
man.
Mean, it's just unbelievable.
Getting like number one or number two off the printing press, that would be cool.
But this is, how about actually his collection? I mean, is he one of those guys that put away like a brand, I have to have the first one off the press, I'm sealing it up and it's going away.
I imagine so.
In one of those rooms that nobody touches, pressurized air, you know, like
somewhere.
Only him that, you know, that can do that.
Somewhere down the road, I'm sure there will be an auction of some of his stuff.
Listen, probably.
Like, it's like Elvis, you know, they piecemeal a little bit out every few months or every 6 months.
I'm not talking about his stuff. I'm talking about the comic book collection.
Comic book.
You know what I mean. That could be like worth millions of dollars hidden. How many did he take off the press? I'm curious about this. A guy like that, does he take one or 10 off the press because it's his?
It could be
and
like,
he just puts them away.
It could be like the way the Soviets or the Russians will do their diamonds. They let just a little bit go in the market because if they flood the market too much, it brings the price down.
Yeah.
You could have 10 or 15 of them, and then maybe for the next 20 years, every
couple
years, they're
going to let one go.
They'll just let one go.
But imagine seeing that all together, like going into a room as a nerd, like saying the janitor or his caretaker. Look what I found behind the wall. Holy shit, a box of unminted, you know, comic books he was hiding.
That would be so cool. So
like a treasure hunt to somebody.
It would be, but let's get it. Stan Lee will be missed for good and forever. The next one, because we're catching up here on some people yes. past we haven't had a chance to comment on. A few days ago, Steven Hillenburg, SpongeBob SquarePants creator. He was 57. He had died from Lou Gehrig's disease.
Wow.
He was still very active in writing scripts for SpongeBob, directing them.
And the amazing part about that is you figured out the crab patty sauce.
I forgot about that. The crab. One of my favorite if I had a top 10 podcast, I would. You know what? I think we should rerun that.
Yes, rerun that. Yes.
Get that reposted in honor of Steven Hillenburg.
I love that right there.
That's a good idea because we do so many. I forget what they do. All right, then also who passed away was Catherine McGregor, also known as her real name, or her character name, Harriet Olsen on Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, Mrs. Olsen passed away. How old was she?
I think she was about 83 or 85, something like that.
You can never forget the miserable, bitchy, non-liking anybody, Harriet Olsen.
Oh, my God. But then Melissa Gilbert was saying in an article, saying like, her character, she was actually complete opposite of her character. Because to the kids in the cast, she was very giving, very heartwarming.
Oh, wow.
Very grandma nurturing like.
Oh, you know? That's amazing. Oh, wow.
Because what was her husband's name?
Nels.
Always yelling at him.
Oh, yes.
And always wanted to keep up appearances, you know. Always wanted to.
I loved it when the Ingalls couldn't afford it and they had to bring in eggs when Mrs. Ingalls sold eggs to them and stuff. And the kids would say, oh, I want a gumball. No. One episode, Laura became friends with
the Prairie Brat.
What's his name? Willie.
Willie.
And he goes, get anything you want. Took candy, everything. The father said no. The mother turned around and said, leave him alone, Nels. So anyway, he wanted that Aggie. He wanted some kind of
marble
Aggie she had.
Yeah.
She was in love with a boy and this. Oh, my gosh. Like you said, that must have been one hell of a set. I love that show. Oh, she's going to be missed.
She's going to be missed. Next one. This was news this morning.
Oh, wow.
Ken Berry. He was the actor. He was on Mama's Family. He was on the skits of the Carol Burnett Show.
Ken Berry.
He was also on F Troop. Now you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, with the blonde hair. The guy.
Very kind of almost very much nerd like.
Yeah, that was the woman. What's her name? Fell in love with him. Remember the hot girl in that?
Naomi was the character name. This is when Mama's Family became a TV series.
No. F Troop.
F Troop.
The blonde.
I don't remember much. I haven't nerded on much F Troop, but I'm aware of it.
I'm trying to think of her name now. Oh, I don't know, but she used to turn around. I forget her name, but his name was... No, it wasn't Corporal Agard. I forget his name. Anyway, he fell in love with this beautiful blonde, loved him.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I remember him. Oh, he passed away.
He was 85.
Wow, so he was also in a lot of those... like Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo movies and stuff. Oh,
if you go to Wikipedia and look at his career, he was actually, doing stuff right up to the end.
Wow.
Almost.
Ken Berry, you're definitely going to be missed. Sir.
He's going to be missed. He's a guy I would have liked to have talked to.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine him telling you stories like you said, Naomi
about Tim Cotton? Think because he did appearances around Carol Burnett and then as a guest star. On variety shows through the 70s.
I wonder if he was on like Hollywood Squares.
I think
or
he probably
Password,
was.
Password Plus.
All those
remember all
shows?
Those good
yes.
shows that these
Joker's Walk.
Yeah, Hollywood Squares.
The $25,000
pyramid. $25,000
pyramid.
Then they went to $100,000 pyramid. I wonder if he was on that other one. Now I forget. Oh, that was still another one anyway.
A lot of good stuff
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So I got it. I posted a few pictures already. I got to tell my story about going to Jerry Lewis's house.
Wow.
Got to hear this. Okay. So I kind of, where I live at, I kind of learned about 2 years ago from one of my clients that I was working for where Jerry Lewis lived in this neighborhood. The person said, well, yeah, my neighbor's Jerry Lewis. And I'm just like, whoa.
Wow.
in reality, it was like maybe about 10 houses down there and about three houses in this complex of city block area.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, Lady Gaga's my neighbor.
Yes.
Yeah, on the big side of Summerlin, like down this block. Well, we're neighbors. We live in the same, you know.
Exactly.
10-mile radius. Well, technically, we are neighbors.
We're neighbors. Oh, my God. We can throw rocks at each
other. Yes, exactly. Except you need like a one of those bazooka ones when you load them up like that. Yeah. Boom.
So, I mean, I'm a fan of Jerry Lewis. And like, what kid growing up wasn't when you learned who this guy was? Funny movies. So, being aware of, I knew where he lived.
I think my favorite one of him is Dr. Fu Manchu.
Yeah.
And he played the Chinese guy. Remember that movie?
I'm going to get back into nerding out on some Jerry Lewis just because. He passed away August 2017, which would have been about a year and 3 months ago, or a year and 2 months ago. I was aware that they had his kids put a bunch of his valuables, we're talking jewelry, some memorabilia, up for auction, some costume outfits.
Oh, that must have been something.
You can still actually see the photos online from when they did. I think one of those was March this past year.
Wow.
So I had an early morning appointment I had to go do for a client on Saturday morning. When did it? Driving
real fast,
back.
Didn't he do something with Dom DeLuise too, if I'm not mistaken?
I think he did.
Yeah.
His last movie that he did with Nicolas Cage, believe it or not.
Wow. So, Squirrel Serendipity. You worked for him
before. Squirrel Serendipity. Yeah. One of those weird things. But so I'm coming back. I'm driving back. It's about maybe between 9 and 10 o'clock. Driving down the street. And I see they got these signs all over, bright green signs that says Jerry Lewis Estate Sale. And at the time I was talking to my mom, I'm like, Jerry Lewis Estate, I'm going to have to go check that out. But I had some other things, responsibilities I had to do for another client because I had another appointment at 4 o'clock. I'm kind of like jonesing. Should I go there? Is this a opportunity knocking for me again? Kind of like, remember when I brought the pictures back of Jimmy Jameson from the Survivor memorabilia?
Yes.
Pictures I took of stuff that will never probably be seen once it gets hiked off into somebody's house and collection. I'm just thinking, all right, I gotta go check this out. Grab an extra $20 bill, throw it in my wallet, getting ready to head just in case there's some memorabilia there. You don't know.
And in an estate sale, you couldn't find anything.
Yes, because estate sales, I figure, okay, the way an estate sale works, it's when there is just the leftover stuff. And by the way, the house, his two kids who are probably in their 30s now, there's a few stories of them online, news stories. There, you can go watch it. They'll talk to them. The house sold like about the same time, in the springtime. 8,000 square feet, $1.4 million.
Wow.
Very nice house. So I'm giving myself an extra half hour to go check it out. I go check it out. I get there. It's your standard estate sale. Now, when they were selling the house, there are realtor photos showing the house inside. Bright red carpet everywhere. Since then, the carpet has been ripped out.
Wow.
For whatever reason, it's just the way it is. So I get inside. There's the people who are working the front little desk that they got makeshift for things they're selling. There's a lot of coffee tables, sitting chairs. 8,000 square feet. There's a lot of furniture that's not what you call high end. It's not what you call
like
Goodwill.
Fillers. You know what I mean? Like you got to go out and fill up your this, fill up that, and it's not worth millions, but it's not worth shit.
It's worth enough, but there's a lot of it, so they justify an estate
sale. Yeah, they
want
to get rid of it.
Yeah. So I go walking around, and I've got my camera with me, got my phone. I'm trying to be very stealthy. I'm not going to ask for permission. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission, but I see there's pictures on, there's maybe 25 different things throughout. I got pictures of maybe 8 different things, wall hangings.
Wow.
So I go poking around. What I found what was to be his office. Later I learned from another interview where he was doing an interview was this. That was his office area.
That's amazing.
And then I was showing you the photos, didn't realize
it. Looked,
there's that safe up in the top corner. Should have checked that out a little closer.
Wow. If you don't know.
Yeah. Between this office.
That's probably the first thing the kids hit.
I imagine I would. There's like a walk-through closet that goes back to another bedroom. In that closet, there is a single pair of pants on a hanger. And I just kind of pause and look at it. I go, did somebody forget Jerry Lewis's pants here? Okay. I really don't think anything of it. Go take a few more pictures, make my way, wander downstairs, go into pass through the dining room, which is pretty stripped bare. There's a table in there. A lot of stuff that is already sold, you pretty much has stickers on it because...
Normally, like you say, that stuff's moving.
Come back Sunday between 9 and 5 and pick it up. You know, got to get it out of here.
Yeah, they want to get it gone.
Yeah, and I've learned that through estate sales, the last few hours is when they will take offers on things because they don't want to take the stuff.
Yeah, they don't want to throw it out.
Well, they don't want to take it back to the warehouse or anything. They want to move it. You know, that's how they make their money. So having that knowledge,
Imagine with all that, like you say, with all chairs and all that pool stuff.
Exactly.
What are you going to do with all that?
Very nice backyard. You can see the realtor photos online. But then I go and there's a picture of him and Ronald Reagan that's autographed. I'll share that eventually. Him and John F. Kennedy. I think two like big pictures of him and Dean Martin. I wander into the kitchen next. A big island in the center of the kitchen. There's a whole big dish set. We're talking plates, saucers, everything, knives, spoons, forks. And then I got pictures of there was like three things on the wall there. Eventually find myself upstairs, wandering around, looking at stuff, and I found his bedroom.
That must have been pretty cool.
It's easy to figure out it's his bedroom because it's huge.
Wow.
There's still, there's the armoire still in there, which had a tag on it that said not for sale. I was looking at that.
That must have been neat because you're looking at the guy who was a comic genius and you're like, wow, I wonder if he stood in front of this. Did he just rehearse? What did he do? Honestly, what did he do?
Exactly, yeah. It's just one of these things where I knew it's like I'm in the right place at the right time. It's just that squirrel serendipity taking place for me right now. It's like it's like I'm here just for a moment, better enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
I got a picture of his bathroom, a picture of what would have been his hot tub.
Oh, the hot tub looks nice. There's a window there. It overlooks the backyard.
I didn't take a picture out there, but you go out, it's like a little patio, and there's two chairs there. Very nice. It looks out over the backyard where there's a big swimming pool. But then, this was funny, the bathroom. I figure inside his bathroom, there is the bidet. You know, that's right there on one side, and then there's a regular...
That'll get your heart started.
Yeah, and well, there's a regular toilet right there.
Have you ever sat on a bidet before?
No, and I'm not looking
to. I have. They are very interesting.
Maybe someday when I travel overseas, but what's funny is on the bidet, there's this little swing arm. There's a TV on it on the left. So it's like, obviously, it's got this the striped, black and white striped wallpaper in there, but it's like I'm taking a picture of this. Nobody else will ever see Derry Lewis's bathroom where he liked to watch TV when taking care of business.
Wow.
So then I walked into what would have been the closet, double-ended closet from the bedroom, and there was about 20 pairs of slacks.
Oh wow.
Still on hangers, about 7 pairs of tan pants, and about maybe 13 pairs of what I'm going to call dark blue black, okay? And I'm kind of thinking, and this other, the other buddy, people are walking through, and this other guy is walking through, and I go, do you think these are Jerry Lewis's slacks? And the guy kind of like, could be, kind of macabre, don't you think?
Huh.
And I'm kind of like, memorabilia-wise, you know.
Exactly.
Just out of curiosity. So I'm thinking...
Oh, I know what's coming next.
Well, I wander downstairs. Because I said, I'm going to take a $20 bill of me. I go downstairs to ask the people running. I go, are those Jerry Lewis's slacks upstairs?
We don't know.
They go, we don't know. They don't know. It's an estate sale to them. But it's like, how much are they? $5 each. I go back up. And I'm looking at them. And on one of the hangers, either on the tan pants, there's about 7 of them. It's on a wooden hanger. Tiny little sticker, maybe about the size of a 2 inches by 1 inch.
Yeah.
It's got the size on it, 29/34. It's done with a black Sharpie, and it's under the tape. And it's on there with, the writing is like shaky, like an elderly person maybe tried to write it on there.
Yeah.
And I'm going, that's Jerry Lewis's handwriting right there on that hanger, taped to it. So I'm like, that's it. I'm no more thinking about it, just do it. I grabbed a pair of the tan slacks, and I grabbed a pair of the dark blue black slacks.
Wow.
Rolled them up, put them under my arm, went down, paid for them, and then I noticed...
Took a piece of the estate sale of an eye.
Yeah, how many people are going to be able to say that they have Jerry Lewis? I mean, it sounds a little weird, but it's just like, hey, I'm in a place. I got to get this. I got to do it.
Exactly. That's pretty cool.
There's a 3-car garage, and then kind of like a, what they call the mother-in-law house out next to it.
Sweet, yeah.
Big. I didn't walk to that yet. So I ask, I go, where, how do you get out there? Oh, you go up past the pool on the back patio, and it's out there. Okay. Also, I went and I purchased 2 spoons from his
dish. Do they have his initials on them like people do?
They don't have his initials on them, no. But I'm just like, you know, hey, a buck each. I'm just going to spend what I can get here. Who else when you can say, I got Jerry Lewis' spoon to stir my coffee with?
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
I also purchased 1 Christmas ornament bulb I'm going to give to my mom for Christmas.
Oh, that's a nice neat Christmas present because that came from Jerry Lewis's estate sale.
Exactly.
Exactly on his tree.
Yeah, because, I mean, that house is probably empty.
And it's Christmas time. That's perfect.
That's why it's pretty cool. So I got a drink here. Went outside, looked in the other, this annex house. It looked like there was still be lit. There was a refrigerator there. I opened the refrigerator. There's a bottle of Crown Royal alcohol still, some mayonnaise, some ketchup. It looks like it's like, you know, I'm going to guess that that's the last of Jerry Lewis's Crown Royal.
Yeah,
right,
just going to say, come from the house, and the guy probably took it out, and he probably said, here, enjoy this.
I'm guessing that maybe they probably had a security guard on property, and that's where he stayed out there. As opposed, I'd be a little weary to be in the main house by myself at night, you know.
Wow.
So, got what I got, out, took a few more photos. As I exited, took a photo of the house. There's a lot of decent photos from the realtor photos.
Yeah, and it's a brick house, which is like older, and that's neat.
Because his kids were teenagers and grown up.
They all grew up there.
Through the 80s, his two kids from his second marriage, they grew up there.
Wow.
But here's the really neat mystery. On the mailbox outside are the initials, J-A-L. Took a picture of this, okay? Now, the L looks like a letter S. But it's the way people draw an L sometimes. So it's very easy to figure out. J for Jerry, L for Lewis. But the letter A. What? I went on Wikipedia. I only spent about 5 minutes on this. I've got to search it some more. But I need to find out what his middle name is.
I was just going to say,
I don't know.
That's nuts.
It is weird. There's no point of figuring out what the A stands for.
No, because if you can't figure that out, that's like...
Exactly.
The E on Eric's on Elvis's grave when one's backwards.
Exactly.
Why is this on the mailbox?
It's so bizarre.
What's the significance to it? Wow.
I took a picture. I put a few of the photos up on our Instagram account, Shiny Squirrel Podcast, WCW _ comedy. More. I'm gonna get these more put up after I show them. I just gotta. Just got to do it right, because I'd like to pair them with the real estate photos.
Oh, that'll be cool. Like you lined up the actual cracks of debris.
Pretty much so, yes.
Oh, and then the other one on the other trip before that, the spot where Gorn was on the Star Trek episode, you had to line up the exact spot.
Valdez Rocks.
Yes, exactly. So you want to line this up too. That's perfect.
So anyway, I was talking to my mom, and I was telling her, yep, I got Jerry Lewis's pants, you know. Now, my mom, she sews. She's a good sewer. She makes quilts. She's always made shirts and just a lot, just a no brain. And so I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with the slacks. She goes, well, did you try them on yet? No, I haven't tried them on yet. Am I going to try them on? Yes,
of
curiosity. No, I haven't gone through the pockets yet. It's something that just, I'm letting them simmer, okay?
You have to go through the pocket.
And yes, I did take the hanger that they were on.
Well, there you go.
So
that's
I got
cool.
The Jerry Lewis handwriting. My mom says, bring them up when you come up for Christmas. Maybe we can cut up one of them up, and we'll make some stuffed animal squirrels for you to give some of your guests.
I would love that.
Podcasts.
That is pretty cool, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a perfect way to... you know, it's like, hey, here's a little stuffed down on the squirrel. By the way, those are made from Jerry Lewis's slacks. Because I did go on YouTube a little bit under the words Jerry Lewis pants. And I looked at some of the old telethon interview episodes, some of the stuff they did, like a Larry King. You know, it's
his
like.
Middle name was Ann. Jerry Lewis Ann.
You found it?
It says A.M.
A.M.?
I looked up Jerry Lewis' middle name. Jerry Lewis Ann was an American actor, comedy producer, blah, 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 from Newark, New Jersey. Wow.
Jersey. Is it A.M. or A.M.? A.M.?
A.M. A.M.
Good job. Jerry Lewis Ann.
What it says.
That is interesting.
He was worth $50 million. And he died ismatic cardiomyopathy. I don't know what the hell that says.
Well, anyway, so what the story will be continued with some more stuff to come about.
Oh, definitely. That's awesome.
It's like one
so
of
Jerry M. Lewis.
Jerry M. Lewis. That you solved it.
Yes,
squirrel.
We solved it right there.
Here's what's even more interesting.
But bizarre thing is, who would name their kid M. middle name?
Well, his real. Anyway, I want to wrap this up so we get to the main topic of our podcast, which is Star Trek and Star Wars technology. I went to my client's house. I was returned. Inside his house, this elderly gentleman, probably about 70 years old, on his wall, and I took photos of a few of the Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis posters. On my customer's wall was this charcoal drawing, 8x10, of a young Jerry, or a young Dean Martin.
That's pretty sweet.
That is just bizarre. That's just so weird.
Yes, it is.
So anyway, that's more to be told.
That sounds like a fun Saturday.
It was a good Saturday, in the right place at the right time. So, we got this topic. I've been kind of keeping this on the burner in the background. It's one I think it's time to do.
Yeah, but you know, it's like when you lined up the cracks at the Brady's house. That was fucking cool. The actual photo and all the cracks there. I mean, you like that stuff. That's pretty neat. That's a preservation of nerd history.
It's fun to do. That's what I enjoy on doing. But so, you probably like me. You're not what you're over here at the Rio. Every year they have the big Star Trek convention. These are the people who are so much into
it.
I
eat with them every day. Not the actual people, but I eat the Gold Coast Buffet, and they stay there because it's right across the street. They have the Star Trek, you know, the red shirts, the gold shirts, the blue shirts.
Very knowledgeable.
Some of the women dress up like the actual, like, different characters they had. Then you'll see one guy dress up with the crazy guy with the green on, when he was after his phaser, with the thing coming out. I mean, it's really cool.
It's cool, but I kind of consider myself, I mean, I grew up on Star Trek, Star Wars. I kind of consider myself, like with the expression, an armchair quarterback. I'm just an armchair fan with knowledge of a lot of the stuff.
That's amazing. That's good.
So
that is good.
You're an armchair fan of Star Trek, Star Wars. I'm a fan of Star Trek, Star Wars. I figured it'd be fun. Let's talk about some of the technology broken down into four categories.
Awesome.
So first one I want to throw it out there, medical technology. Okay?
Okay, this is good. Let's hear what this is.
All right, so Star Wars, all right? The medical tech, okay, first thing that comes to mind, Luke got his hand chopped off in the lightsaber duel with Darth Vader, and then in the next one, he electronically, or, you know, he has a prosthetic hand that works just fine.
And then they killed, Darth Vader died, they burn him and his spirit was free, so it's like reincarnation.
Yeah.
Which is a form of medically relieving yourself of your pain, because he hated being in that suit.
He hated being in that suit, but they had enough of that technology to, you know, the respirator and everything.
Yes, but he hated it, like you said.
Exactly. He hated it. But then also the technology, when they put Han Solo in the carbonite, you know, they're like, he might survive, he may not. There was enough technology there. I mean, come on, you're putting someone in basically solid rock.
Okay, let's go even further into this. How about when they were in the trash compactor?
Yeah.
With all that, what kind of diseases could have they gotten when they were swamped underwater with that thing and all the, like, waste and what's battery acid from? What was actually dumped in there, supposed to be dumped in there?
I thought one of them got a sinus.
Yes, exactly. But what was in there? Battery acid? oil from changing robots and stuff?
Storyline, from what I actually remember, if I read this, this is where I'm in the armchair category, because I don't
going back
know
for a touchdown
all stories,
pass.
Everything four. But I thought one of them came down with a sinus
probably
allergy
did.
Or something.
Probably did. Who knows what was in there?
So, I mean, that's that technology with Star Wars, or the medical technology.
It's just like when they had those, medical, the last Star Wars that came out. Look at the one guy got shot and killed. I forget the, oh my gosh, I'm tired. Excuse me, forget his name. But they kept going and going and going. All the rebels gave their lives up to turn around and stop the Death Star. And the planet supposedly blew up. So who knows what's going to happen out of that?
Yeah.
And if you notice, some of the designs on some of their things actually look like the hospital sign. You know, the checkered sign, like when they have the, what do they call that? Not the X-Wing fighter, but that little one, like, cupped like this from the...
the Boba Fett thing that folds, the wings fold up.
Yeah, it looks like a little bit of a hospital thing when you got the weird sign and stuff. Yeah,
the AMA sign.
Yes.
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Isn't it something?
I've noticed that. Yes. You know? So you got that kind of, you know, you got this segment, now compared to the real world that we live in, the prosthetic arm, we're either there or almost there.
We're probably almost there because we have Teslas nowadays that you can drive on the highway.
They're doing tests where the brain waves can make the nerve endings on a prosthetic hand move the fingers.
Wow, I wonder if the brain waves, when you get older, can make certain parts of your body still work if the other person of a younger generation.
That's a good one. I don't know about that one. But now, you get into Star Trek, okay? Bones McCoy, you know, he had that. They had
tricorder.
Had that little tiny thing. It was the little medical thing that he would run over.
Yeah, but wasn't it a tricorder?
The tricorder was the larger little box.
Okay.
That they would do analysis on, but McCoy had the little thing he would hold.
Yeah, I remember he made that sign.
It was about the size of like a Cheeto.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yes, exactly.
And he would run it over you and.
And it would tell you everything was wrong with you.
Yeah, if you were down on the planet, he could give you a proximity, your blood pressure and everything, but then. Also, if you're back in his sick bay, you can lay on that table and there's that little screen behind him that's giving your vitals and everything that's going on.
I wonder, now, Mr. Spock had his, like, Vulcan blood. Mm-hmm. Nothing could bother him. Remember, he would touch people, talking about nerve endings and stuff.
Yeah.
From Star Wars, well, in Star Trek, he could give you that zap.
Yes.
And he could zap you out and you would knock out.
Vulcan death grip.
Yes, and you would be knocked out.
Uh-huh. He could either kill you with it or knock you out with it.
And most of the people he knocked out, I don't think he ever killed
anybody.
That is
one thing that we wanted to do in grade school was to do the Vulcan death grip. Oh, we wanted to do that.
And remember, when he was on the, what do they call that, on deck or, oh my gosh, when everybody was called up to the deck.
The holodeck, or the where they would beam
yeah,
over.
Where they would, you'd see the screen and everything when things were coming at them, like with
on the main deck.
Yes, the deck.
The screen.
Yes. Okay. What was he looking into all the time? That green thing where they could see everything.
Oh, that little thing.
Yes.
Some kind of analysis or something.
Yes,
you know?
Because I remember it would be like for ships and stuff, but then sometimes it would give like these weird things, these readouts and stuff.
It would be like an infrared or a radiation.
Yes, they could
or
tell
something.
You there was life form and stuff and all this stuff. There's like 100 people on the thing, you know, the other ship and stuff like that.
That's why Spock was first officer in there.
And remember that one episode of Star Trek where the other Star Trek Enterprise was like on the little life support and the other Captain Kirk beamed up and Captain Kirk was stuck on the ship?
The two of them. The good captain and the bad captain.
Yes.
Yes.
And the good captain was almost beamed out and they were going to blow up the ship. And
yes.
The stuff. You
the
talk
parallel
about
universe.
Yes, talk about technology.
Now, there was also the episode of where they took Spock's spine out of his body, disconnected his brain.
I don't remember that one.
It was an episode in where they were basically in search of Spock, and rescue Spock.
Is this the movie?
It was a combination TV the one episode. Well, basically Spock is on the medical table.
Okay.
And Bones is trying to put his spine, basically the whole skeletal spine back into Spock. He's able to reconnect some of the nerves so Spock can talk again and gives instructions to Bones on how to get the spine, his spine back into him.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Vulcans are tough little bitches.
Wow. One of my favorite one episodes there is when they got beamed down to that thing where it took place in like the 20s and 30s. They had the Tommy guns and everything.
Yes.
I love that one because, oh, wow, man. They said, here's another thing. Episodes like that, which we set the phaser, set them on stun. They have the option to kill you or stun you, knock you out.
Yeah.
More technology. They could either take you, eliminate you, or they could,
Do you remember, the very first pilot of Star Trek, they had Captain Pike. and he was in that electronic wheelchair. Yes, yes. They even spoofed it on Family Guy, okay? So you look at that, kind of technology to put him in that thing. Obviously,
and he couldn't talk, right?
Yeah, he couldn't talk, but he had two lights, I believe, that he could light on. That technology of what they were able to do to preserve him, much like what they did to Darth Vader,
yes,
into his respiratory encasing suit.
Now, I wonder if somebody took that off of Star Trek into Star Wars.
There could be something, because obviously Captain Pike is in that you can't tell, you don't hear another spider.
Like,
but I believe there would be like an iron lung.
Yeah, iron lung, but they used to have them when they used to sweat you. Like, they used to have them iron lungs,
yes,
where people would sweat and actually go into those, like that place you took me.
Yes.
People would just go to these fancy places to sweat out everything.
So, you know, in these different things, I got to say, between in the life support of Captain Pike and what they've done for Darth Vader, the fact that Luke Skywalker's hand is able to go on, but I kind of got to vote the better leaning toward technology is a wee bit better in Star Trek because of what McCoy... Remember when McCoy, when they went down on the planet, it was like those blobby rock creatures. They shoot one with a phaser, and they find out it's a mom, and they want Bones to fix it. He's like, I'm a doctor, I'm not a geologist. And they end up like taking some wood, some cement or something, and fixing the rock creature. So I've got to put technology towards Star Trek.
I don't know about that, because you're going movies versus TV show from the 60s.
Well, I'm kind
so
of...
where do you really get the technology?
Well, the little Cheeto thing that Bones will take in monitor you... Never seen anything like that on Star Wars.
But how about in Star Wars when they had the, what do you call that? The, oh my gosh, the thing Luke Skywalker drove. You know what I'm saying? His Land Cruiser.
The Land Rover. Land Cruiser.
Yeah, okay. Now, that's pretty advanced for their time, too. They have a lifesaver that could turn around.
Lightsaber.
The lifesaver where he could actually use the mind to raise the Jedi when it went down there. So where do you really compare a movies to a show?
That makes... Well, we're doing the technology
here,
but at the same point. The Force is... Let's say they land in that trash pit. He's using the Force around him to keep a virus or who knows what bacteria has been... in that cesspool of dump. So you make a good point. So I gotta give the kudos to Star Trek for the little Cheeto
minute
thing.
Okay.
But then you make a very good point about what he can do with the Force, keeping a virus or something, a bacteria at bay.
Yeah, so because you would think with all that stuff, but who knows, you know? And then you got also all the computers, like, how did they turn around and put the thing into the guy's head, ding, 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 and then you have little Leia there who with that little shadow, you know what I'm saying? So
let's stay on the four topic here, okay? So
No, but I'm saying, but that's technology, though. When she comes out, and it turns into a whole episodic over this one princess caught on that technology from that R2-D2 thing. What I'm trying to say is, what really is versus one or better or the other?
Let's get into weaponry. Okay.
Oh, okay.
This is two topics, defensive and offensive. Okay. So let's do defensive first. Okay.
Death Star. Pretty amazing.
Huge, round, the planet killer. Death Star 1,
puts up a
Death
shield
Star
and
2.
Can take everything out.
It was like 800, it's like the size of our moon.
Oh my gosh, that's just thinking about that, man. Oh man, could you imagine something like that?
And that's the planet killer. Now, you got lasers and phasers. Phasers from Star Trek, lasers in Star Wars.
Beaming up people from Star Trek to...
Because beaming up, that would be a defense and an offense.
Yes.
Because your defense, you can beam, Scotty, three to beam out.
Yes.
Beam them out of there.
Yes.
Or Captain Kirk was saying, what if I have 100 men beam down here? They're all going to have red shirts on, of course. 100 men down here, beam down here, all armed with phaser rifles.
Yes, that's very true.
That's an offense.
Yes, yes.
There was these neat little vignettes. Of where they would have, I would love to talk to one of these guys who've made these. They've been around on YouTube for a while, but they'll have like Star Trek versus Star Wars.
Oh, really? I never heard of that.
Oh, yeah, I'll have to show them to you sometime. Then there's a neat one where it shows Star Trek Next Generation coming in to what would be the Death Star, and then there's a TIE fighter flying up to it, And it says, there's a small ship flying towards us. He has weapons, but they're, you know, auto-generated or something. And the Enterprise just goes, boom! It just blows it away like a mosquito. Okay.
Now, another comparison, not just the way we talked about from, I forget what it was, with Star Trek, with Captain Pike to Darth Vader.
Yes.
How about when they did hyperdrive or in Star Trek, warp drive to the Millennium Falcon going into Millennium?
Into hyperspace.
Yes.
Hyperdrive.
Now, who picked up off of that? Because Star Trek is from 66. This is 10 years later.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting comparison if you think about it, though. Warp drive to Millennium drive.
Between
hyperspace.
The two, because with warp drive, I've always remembered them saying the word achieving near light speed. And then it seems like in Star Wars, they are doing what they're going to go jumping to light speed.
But was that taken from Star Wars, was that taken from Star Trek, the series, to
I bet they were
into
inspired.
Star Wars?
I bet they were inspired by it.
That's two topics right there that are pretty close.
Yeah. And then also the warp drive and hyper that warp hit the light speed, that's a defense and an offense.
Yes.
Because how many times the Millennium, as you said, Millennium Falcon being chased, let's jump to light, get the heck out of here.
Disappear.
Go. And then at the same time, we got to get Captain Kirk. We got Romulan 7. We'll be there in 7 hours. Take it to warp 9.
And how about both of those were in reverse, too? Remember the shows where they would have those things go in reverse to speed time up on the Star Trek to go back in time like that?
Yeah.
So you're right. Who is really the better of the two at this time?
That's one thing they've never done in Star Wars is time travel.
No.
So they have the ability to do this.
But they have mind control of Jedis.
True.
That could actually focus on Return of the Jedi when the, the X-Wing fighter went into the swamp.
Yeah.
And Yoda, when Luke Skywalker was training to become a Jedi, actually raised it, then went down, and he said, you're not strong enough. So the Vulcan mind,
There you go. Vulcan mind. The Vulcan mind.
The trick where he would just get into
Vulcan
your mind.
Yeah, Vulcan mind scan. He would do that, but at the same time, it's like when Luke Skywalker, in the last episode of Star Wars, when he projected himself, the Force, across the universe to a younger version of himself when he was taken on Rylo Ken.
You know what this sounds like to me? Star Wars ripped off a lot of episode things with Star Trek.
There's got to be a lot of... Where did Gene Roddenberry... Going to go back to the day the Earth stood still,
yes,
to George Orwell.
Yes.
It's like the U2 song, The Fly. Every artist is a cannibal.
Yes.
So something is being put in there more and more. But that is a good point. The Vulcan mind trick, which is like a... Because he uses that as a defense or an offense.
And an offense because he can knock you out, or a defense to see what your mind is. If you're like an enemy, they can read you.
Or when Obi-Wan Kenobi is using the Force, these are not the robots you are looking for. He has basically altered, altering a little time, maybe not a physical time shift, but he's altering your mind just a few minutes away to get you out of
there. That's amazing.
There's a defense to get out of there.
Yes, amazing.
Now, proton torpedoes on Star Trek. I watched a video where they're talking about the different evolution of the Enterprises. They got more and more better, faster shooting lasers. Like on the Next Generation, it had like that line of where it could shoot a phaser at any point in different multiples as the computers got better. They even got an upgrade on photon torpedoes, as they were 2.5 times as more powerful as what they were in Kirk days.
Wow.
When they could just launch one at a time, and you would hear that boom, you know? So I don't think Star Wars has something of equivalency of a proton torpedo. But they did have in Rogue One, if I remember correctly, those ships were going in as bombs they were dropping.
Trying to get the big...
The big mother ship in there.
And they had those other things that walk, that shoot.
Yes.
What do you call those things?
The
Ewok? AT-ATs. Yeah, because those things drill.
Star Trek didn't have anything like AT-ATs.
No,
you know? So
wow.
I think that's a good... We got a good comparison. So I'll let you go first because I already did a medical. Where would you put the lean towards and then the kudos for Star Trek and Star Wars in that technology of the tech in the weaponry of defense and offense?
You gotta put Star Wars be stronger because different era, mm-hmm. but the Enterprise, Kirk, was ahead of its time. So where yes. do you really pinpoint them? I say they're about even, in my opinion, because...
I gotta say they're about even, because once you put Spock in the Vulcan mind trick, plus with the Force, even though I think Star Trek has weaponry that's a little bit stronger, because eventually they took out the Borg cubes.
Yes.
Which I would love to see what a Borg cube against the Death Star 1 and 2 would be like. That's something to Google and YouTube later. But I gotta give just a shade more of technology on the weaponry to Star Trek, but at the same time, it's kind of an equilibrium there on the defensive side for the weaponry for Star Wars.
Yeah,
I think they're pretty equal.
Yeah, pretty equal.
All right, now the last one of the four, because we did weaponry or medical, weaponry, defense, offensive, just the general blanket of technology of what it all is. Because you're bringing up earlier in about the rope R2-D2 when he had that little showing Princess Leia in the hologram.
Oh, yeah, hologram, okay. But I'll tell you what, though. If Star Trek took place before Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
you really have to go with Star Trek being ahead of its time for having the tricorders,
yes.
the phasers, the, what do you call those things, the beaming up and down.
There's a lot of that technology.
Yes.
Stuff that technology, which we, look at our phones.
Yes. Hyper, Scotty going to hype overdrive, warp 1, warp 2, warp 3.
There's
some
of the stuff that NASA's working with as far as jet or outer space propulsion that has been mentioned. Atomic, it's beyond our little mind.
Do you remember when Star Wars came out? I remember it was 1977 when I saw the second release in the snow.
I remember when my dad took me and my brothers to it. He says, there's a movie that I hear people talking about. I think we better go see it. It's called Star Wars.
Okay. But do you remember when you saw R2-D2 and Luke Skywalker in the Land Cruiser?
Yes.
People were saying, oh my gosh, this is happening then in a movie?
Yeah.
Wait till the year 22,000 or 20, the turn of the century. We know what they call that, the millennium. Oh, we're going to be driving through space. You're going to have all these cars and everything. Well, guess what?
We got them.
We are here. We arrived, but I don't see no George Jetsons, and I don't see nobody flying around in cars like that. I mean, we have superior technology, but not that. So what does that explain?
You know what's interesting? Have you ever heard where people will have an invent? Say, like, you invent something for a car. This is going to guarantee every car to get 60 miles per gallon. And it's no more than maybe a washer and a nut. Well, one of the big three automakers, they're going to say, hold on, we'll buy that from you for a million dollars.
And we're going to give you $1.50 per part.
No. They take it, and they'll say, we're going to buy the patent rights for it. I'm pretending I'm holding that part right here in my hand, little nut and bolt. We're going to take that from you, and you know what? We're going to put it on a shelf, and we're going to forget about it. They buy the patent rights for it. It's a piece of technology that they never get used because they want you to have a car that's going to wear out.
Gotcha.
And basically, this will happen.
I wonder if this happened before. Have you heard this story happening?
Yes. I've heard of stories like that. I think there's some story about the guy who invented intermittent wipers. They cheated him out of so much money. I don't know if the lawsuits are still going, but I've heard they are.
Wow.
But just the big... But then there's, military, anything. Say, like, you invent uniform corn-flavored coffee.
Yeah.
Starbucks can step up. We'd like to buy that off you. Oh, yeah, we don't want to buy the patent rights. And you think, they're going to produce it. No, they're going to put it on a shelf, in a safe, close it up, never going to be on the market.
Buried, gone.
So what kind of technologies that have come inspired by Star Trek and Star Wars that we, like cloaking? The Star Trek, the cloaking bird of prey. Okay, so they talk about our jets have stealth power. I want to know when is the military going to... Because this word cloaking has... It's in like Harry Potter with the kids. But eventually, it's going to have to come about. Cloaking for military devices.
Yes, but isn't cloaking when they turn around and put like something to follow you? know what I'm saying? Like,
that's tracing.
No, but I thought cloaking would be like something
you're invisible.
Yeah, but in other words, but then they can turn around and they put something on you and they turn around. Okay, maybe that's not. Wait a minute now. Cloaking in Star Trek, exactly what was that?
Okay, so the bird of prey, the Romulan bird of prey. Yes. Yeah, Klingon. I don't know. It's late.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, the bird of prey would basically would turn invisible. So it's not seen on the radar or the sonar or the sensors. You can't see it.
Like Wonder Woman's private airplane.
Yes.
Wow.
But if you hit it with a proton,
you would know it's there.
There. It's not pure invisibility where the energy can pass through you.
Gotcha.
But it's still there. So how is it till our military is going to be cloaking the jets?
How do we know we don't have something like that?
That's exactly it. Who knows if we don't have that yet?
Because you see these movies, like these time travel movies, where we'll just put this device here with us, and then the ship just disappears.
Exactly.
How does David Copperfield make the Statue of Liberty disappear?
Exactly. Reflective of light.
Yes,
it's a lot. So,
I like that word.
We can revisit this topic again.
The
cloaking
of the Klingons versus Jabba the Hutt, you know, something weird.
Yeah.
I think we got to get more in depth into this topic we go.
It's like say, if later on we'll talk musical instruments.
Okay, but how about the guns? The actual guns?
The phasers
versus the guns that
I think phasers are more powerful than what you would put up against lasers in Star Wars.
Yeah, but that one guy had the thing, the one blue thing, they shot through it, it just blew the hole in everything.
Well, if you had to put a handheld laser or handheld phaser against a blaster from Star Wars, who is going to ultimately win?
I don't know. That's like saying when Kirk made that thing with chemicals when we went to Suarez Rocks and against Gorn. Versus one of the homemade things. I mean, the ingenious, the knowledge, what can this turn into?
Well, remember how they would always have the phasers, and it would be like, my phaser's running low.
Yes, okay.
Okay, here's my guess, okay? The phaser will be able to have a blast more strong in energy going shot out. Or say you get 100 phaser blast out of it, okay? I think the Star Wars blaster, the handheld, like what Han Solo has, I think it could be just a little bit weaker, but I think you're going to get more discharged out of it.
Gotcha.
You're going to get maybe 250 shots out of it.
Gotcha. Oh, wow.
So they're not paired equal, but one can be power more energy, but the other one will give lower burst, but more burst of it out.
So I'm going to agree with you because of time where it took place. Star Wars is more, not ingenious, but more hip to their time versus 60s versus to the 70s.
That's a good way to put it.
They're more advanced than they would have been from 77.
In some areas, looking at the whole thing.
Yes.
And this is just our armchair, armchair quarterback nerds talking about
this. So if you have your own opinion, hit us up and tell us at
WCW_comedy. Shiny Squirrel Podcast is the Instagrams or the email address, shinysquirrelpodcast@gmail.com. So we will have to do this as a topic more again because we got Battlestar Galactica to get in there.
We also have
the original. I've got to be honest on this. I've got to stick on the original Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yeah.
Not the reboots.
No, with Lauren Green.
Yes.
Yes, I love that.
So we're getting closer to Christmas time. You're out of here in about, what,
13 days.
13 days.
You're out of here about 17.
17 days, about 3 days after that. Heading back to Oregon. I'm going to be doing some live podcasts. I've told my mom. I go, you do realize you're going to have to do some live pod. I don't want to. I hear my dad in the background. I want to do a live podcast. So my dad will be getting in on this for the first time.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I like that. I wonder what they're going to talk about on this one.
I think my dad will probably do some TV themes or something with my
dad. Awesome. That's great because you can never go wrong around the holidays on old school TV themes.
Exactly. So have a good evening. We're almost Christmas time.
That was good.